Greetings. I'm Bill Plotkin, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Keith Murphy, who's an education and outreach associate for the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. And Keith is here to talk to us about housing discrimination, employment discrimination, and some important new laws that are coming into effect that we all should pay attention and listen. So I certainly am. Anyway, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming back. It's been a while since you've been on the show, and I wanted to get you on because of all those new laws and because of the dilemma in COVID is that discrimination does keep going on. So
right.
Thank you. First of all, for those of our listeners who haven't heard you before, could you tell us a little bit about the Commission on Civil Rights?
Sure. The Maryland Commission on Civil Rights is the state commission that enforces our anti-discrimination and anti-harassment law throughout covered things. Employment, housing, public services and accommodations. It also covers state contracts with any business that subcontracts with a state agency. And our new fifth one is we also cover health provisions, so services and health care, that we are concurrent partners with the Department of Health. And so they will receive, if they receive complaints, we become a part of that procedure. I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit more about that. One of the things with that is that under the Department of Health is that the protected classes for them were basically race, color, and ethnicity.
Uh-huh.
Now being concurrent with us, they now have all of the protected classes.
Good.
Which would include everything from gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, disability. They would all come into play when it came to service being treated differently.
Good, good.
And that covers not only like facilities like hospitals, it also covers licensed professionals that are licensed within the state of Maryland. So if there's an issue when someone denies you service or a provision of health service because of one of those protected classes, you would go to the health department, file a complaint, and we would see the complaint, and then if we may take over if it's a part of our protected classes but not theirs.
Uh-huh. That's especially relevant now with the COVID thing.
Right, and that's the new one that really came in. A part of it was maybe changes to the federal law and protections for persons, for example, who are transgender in their health care. So it's a way that the state of Maryland began to react to some of those changes. To protect people, because we know that access to health care is very, very important in lots of different ways. One is that it impacts how we our employment. It also impacts our home life. It impacts our family lives. So access to that and the safety net around health care is very important.
Amen. Amen. So as a practical thing then for any of our listeners who say, oh, well, my daughter, might have been discriminated against. What should folks look for in the health area?
And some of the things it would be if someone came in and, they were, as a general, if they come in for a service and they are delayed or denied, could be denied. I'm sorry, but we don't serve, transgender people, that would be illegal in the state of Maryland. If they blatantly say that out loud or they're treated differently from others, so you may have just different treatment. It may also be denial of even entrance into the facility. The only exemptions is if you're not following the rules, like, for example, that are set forth by the state health department. So if it says you must wear a mask and you're denied service for not wearing a mask, you're not protected for that because it's one of the rules that are put in place by healthcare.
Right.
So if you're doing something that is not allowed within the healthcare facility or the provider, that would be different. But if you're denied because of one of those protected classes that we have, and you can check those protected classes by going, to our website at mccr.maryland.gov. and it would list under each of those our protected classes. Because they vary a little bit. And under housing, you have two different ones than you have in employment. So, and service doesn't have the same as employment or housing. So you want to check those out, and they list them all. So that's a way for you to check. If someone, if you just think you are, I mean, it may be that it's not, but it's best to always check that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's free.
Yes. Our services are all free, within the state. You know, it's a state government agency, a commission. So you do have access to that.
Right. What's your position and work with the commission?
Well, I'm an education outreach associate. So what I do basically is I do a lot of the trainings that are provided free of charge to the public. So I do a lot for agencies or businesses for training for their staff. We're also going to start opening up and having some public trainings where you would sign up for that. We're developing some new ones, like in fair housing, and also some like in public accommodations and service. No, you're right. So if you know of anybody, if you're part of a group, if you're part of a faith community, a business that you think maybe you think that your place of work or your healthcare or faith-based community could use, you know, some training. It's free of charge. You would just touch base with me. I would say give me a call, but it's easier to say email me at keith.merkey, and that's M-E-R-K-E-Y, at maryland.gov. So it's keith.merkey@maryland.gov. And just send me an email, and we can move it forward.
Right, and that's Maryland spelled out.
Correct.
Okay, great.
So we do everything from trainings on dimensions of diversity to conflict resolution to know your rights to sexual orientation, gender identity, because we're getting calls where people say, can you do this for our office? And we do it online.
Uh-huh.
So we do it through Google Meet. And so there are different ways, and we can use Zoom and things like that if we want to set that up. And so we've been getting back up to speed, you know, since about August doing some of these, which I think is really kind of fabulous. It's much more draining than in-person training. I'll tell you that as a teacher, as a trainer,
right. It's
very draining. But you still get good information. You'll get copies of the PowerPoint and everything like that, so you'd have the information in front of you.
So it's really for-profit or non-profit, public or non-public?
Correct. It's for all of that. So just give, you know, send me an email, and we'd love to work with you on that.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about what the status of discrimination is now. What do you see, and what would you advise people to look for?
Well, some of the things that, and I'm just going to do a real hit quick on our change in law as of October 1st. I mean, I've already mentioned the health care. That's been added.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is added was a more of a definition of race that went under our definition of discrimination, and it's based on hair texture and hairstyles. It's called the Crown Act. So that's a new one that describes that people are discriminated based on hairstyles or texture. I mean, especially when we saw in African-American females, people being told to cut their dreads, straighten their hair, you can't wear that, you can't wear an afro, all of those things. So that those kind of things about our hair are part of our, not only race, but it could be part of our ethnicity, is how our hair is. And so that was added as a definition that people can bring, as a part of the discrimination that they were treated differently because of being forced to change their hairstyles.
That's good that they did, because the number of people were affected by that.
Correct. And the thing is with this is that it doesn't stop people like within the restaurant business saying you have to wear a hairnet or a beard net. Everybody has to wear it.
Yeah, that's for
health care. I mean, for health protection.
Right.
But if someone says, I don't, you know, they say, well, why don't you do a less ethnic haircut?
Yeah.
Those are coded words. And they're code words for everything. Code words in fair housing, code words in employment discrimination, code words. For example, in employment, it would be things like, well, I don't think you're a right fit for here.
Yeah.
Or in housing, it may be like, I don't think you'd be comfortable in this neighborhood. So those are very coded phrases and words that we know are way we hide discrimination. and other things.
Go ahead. They are things, I'm sorry, that our listeners should look out for.
Right. I mean, sometimes, you know, when someone says something to you and you go like, what do you mean by that? That's the kind of phrase, I go with that phrase. When someone says something to you and you have no idea what they really mean by that, what do you mean I won't fit in here? What do you mean I'd be uncomfortable here?
Ask them. Yeah.
Right. Ask them, what does that mean? I always say, play dumb. Just play dumb.
Yeah. Yep.
Be innocent and say, I don't understand what you mean by that. Well, we're a very conservative workplace, and therefore any kind of flamboyant behavior. You go, describe flamboyant. Like, I can't wear like a balloon dress to work? What does that mean? You know, get people to think. Because what happens, people are hoping you get the clue and you're not going to bother, but if you get them to really drill down to find out, what do you mean by that? They're going to say it. And if they say it, then that becomes utterance. That's an important thing. So that's especially for the Crown Act is really within like our employment. So we'll see that across the board in our race definition. So I could also come up in public accommodations and services. It could even come up in housing.
Right.
But the one change to our housing law is that we now have added source of income.
Yeah, that's an important change. And
I think that.
Why don't you go over the specific types of incomes and some examples for that, please?
Okay, that's what I'm going to get to right now. I'm going to move. I have got a whole list here that I was going to mention. Let's see. Here we go. So, it means that, you know, one is that it has to be a lawful source of money. So people cannot be denied of where their money comes from as long as it's a legal source of money. So people will say, what if they're drug dealers? Not a legal source of money.
Yeah.
It's paid either directly or indirectly on behalf of the renter or the buyer of the house. So it could include a profession like occupation or job. So your salary is one. Government or private assistance. Could include grants or loans or any kind of rental program, which includes low-income housing assistance that are issued under the United States Housing Act of 1937, for example. Anything that's put out by the federal government.
But it has to be from a government source rather than a personal.
No,
source?
It can include private assistance.
Okay, so
it could be a gift, an inheritance.
So if your mother helps you out, is going to help you out with the rent, that's okay.
Yes. An annuity, alimony, child support, anything, any other consideration or benefit. So if you have cobbled together, you've got a lower paying job, but you need to live closer to work, and you say, but my mother's going to kick in $150 extra, and I've got an income assistant grant from Episcopalian Housing Services. And they've committed to being able to help me out for 3 years.
Okay.
Or even if you're planning to sell property or there's a pledge of money coming from a sale of a property or even interest in a property. So you own a property with your brother and there's interest coming from it. That can be considered income. And therefore so you can do that. So it doesn't apply to like when you're talking about renting or sale of a single family dwelling. That's always been one of the exceptions. If you're and you're not using a person within the, a broker or an agent or salesperson, if you're selling or renting your house and you're doing all the work, you can have an exemption to that.
That's great. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Keith, could you give us that contact information one more time for the Commission on Civil Rights?
Sure. I'll give you the email for the commission. You can send it right to them as mccr@maryland.gov. So spell Maryland out, mccr@maryland.gov. And our website is mccr.maryland.gov.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Unfortunately, for Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Keith Murphy, who is an Education and Outreach Associate with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, for being our guest today. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Appreciate it.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.